guys.
Hello.
Well, hello.
I think it's safe to say what we're going to be talking about tonight.
What we've been up to the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Pretty much. That's pretty much all we've done.
Well, let me preempt that up. What we remember for the last 3 days.
Right.
It's a blur.
Last 4 days for some of us.
Yes.
Well, before we get into that, yes, everybody, we're going to be discussing our WorkbenchCon experience and sharing some of our thoughts. And I think some of you guys are actually going to be pretty surprised by what you hear tonight. However, I do want to take an opportunity to thank some new patrons. Actually, we have one new patron. We have one that upgraded. So we have a patron, and dang it, I don't know. I believe it's the, which one's the bottom one? Hand sander. Then tool sharpener.
Yeah.
So this one signed up at the tool sharpener level, Miss Lisa Ryland.
Lisa Ryland, welcome.
Welcome
Lisa Ryland.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining. And next, we have an upgrade, gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
We have an upgrade all the way to journeyman.
No way.
Oh, what?
We do. And what? We spent some time with him the last couple of days. Mr. Bailey Thompson.
Oh, my goodness. That's
awesome.
Oh, my
God.
That's so cool.
Thanks, Bailey. Man, it was great hanging with you at WorkbenchCon.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Yeah, he sat at the table next to me on Saturday morning having breakfast, and we hung out most of the weekend.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So we have another person in the running for this drawing.
That is so cool.
Nice.
What are we up to now? Seven?
Yeah.
Six?
I think, hey,
seven.
I'll tell you right now, if Bailey wins, you guys will just kick back and I'm going to teach him shopping all day.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I'll kick back.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll just stand off to the side, dry heaving as you guys hold hand tools.
Well, what you can do is you could just constantly supply the Tormac trough with beers. Yeah, I mean, Michelob Ultra water.
Well, I will tell you that maybe, you know, if I have some dull chisels or something, maybe I can just bring them on the trip as well and take that opportunity to have you sharpen them for me. Or after you teach Bailey, then he can sharpen them.
Unless we fly, and I'm sure the TSA would love to have a get a set of chisels.
I'll put it in a check bag. I'll check it back.
There you go. Yeah.
Well,
it scares me to fly with anything now.
So it's giveaway time.
Oh, wow.
And I would first like to apologize to the audience in the fact that I failed for the first time ever in my life. And I never reached out because I kept forgetting to a company to sponsor the giveaway for last month, unfortunately. But I will make it up to everybody in the month of March, I promise. Already working on it. But that doesn't mean we're not doing a giveaway, because tonight we are going to be doing a giveaway for patrons, and specifically the 109 patrons that all were nice enough to fill out that form that we sent out and to get us that information. So now we're going to give some stuff away.
That's a good amount, 109. That's a high percentage participated.
It is.
That's good. I'm
it
sure
is.
That there's at least 20 that meant to and just, like me, just kept getting sidetracked.
Right.
Especially when you're listening in your car. You don't think about it when you get out, I bet.
Yes, that is right. It's easy to sidetrack things. And a perfect example of that is the fact that I don't have another giveaway for everybody.
Let me ask you a question that I think some may wonder. Is
7 inches.
Yeah, 7 inches. I heard that a few times.
Yeah, I said it a lot at WorkBenchCon.
Is if someone remembers now hearing this, can they still use that link, and will it still get recorded in that spreadsheet that she set up?
I believe it should, because there wasn't like an expiration date on it. However, moving forward, it would, you know, maybe what we need to do is when we have new patrons sign up, we just send them that thing so they can we'll always have that.
Yes.
But that could just get, we'll have to do it like once a week. Like, hey, who are all the new patrons for the last week? Here's a link, fill it out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because for us, it's just a good way to track.
And know our peeps.
Know our peeps.
Yeah.
Boy, there was a lot of green suitors at WorkbenchCon.
There were.
That's definitely one of the things that I would like to discuss tonight for sure. Well, but without further ado, let's do this giveaway. Two of them. Okay. We're doing two. Yeah, because Nicole got two items from Festool while she was in Germany. The first one we're going to raffle off or give away or draw is going to be the Swiss Army knife, the Festool Swiss Army knife.
Nice.
Right
and
here.
And it's a Victorinox Swiss Army knife.
Correct.
That's Festool. Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
Looks like this.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
I like it because it's got a really nice toothpick.
Yeah.
Oh, no, tweezers. There's a, I thought it had toothpick.
There is. It's on the other
toothpick.
Side.
Yeah, the other side, toothpick.
Yeah. And the tweezers are handy, too.
Ooh, maybe I should use the toothpick on this one.
And it's seven inches.
Yeah, maybe use it first. Use it first,
maybe
Jason.
I should use it and then send it to whoever the winner is. And then can be like, the toothpick was used by Jason.
So ignore it if there's...
Jason,
if there's,
you can use these tweezers or something, can't you?
Yes. Yes, I can, Sedge. All right. Well, you guys ready? Let's do number one.
Drum roll, please.
Away we go. Spinning, 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 spinning. Oh, and the winner is John Amick.
John Amick.
Congratulations. You are the winner of the Festool Swiss Army knife.
Nice.
All the way from Germany.
Let me take a picture so I don't.
Next to Switzerland.
Get this. Okay.
And France.
All right. So that's one. We're going to remove him so he can't win twice. All right. Number two. This is the really cool insulating bag.
And it's that brand we were talking about, right? That Topo? Topo
I don't
or something?
Think this is.
I think it is. I think it is.
Let me open
but
it.
It's a high quality bag. It's not just like a little cheap insulating bag.
The bag I was talking about is that little computer bag, like the computer accessory, the little travel bag that we got when we did the build off.
Oh, yeah. That one.
This does not look like that brand because they always have a little patch, but it's very, very nice.
It's an insulating bag, though. Right?
Correct.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Correct.
Very nice.
That is really nice.
In Festool blue green colors, so you can show your allegiance,
show your support,
show your brand loyalty.
Okay, here we go. The grand finale. The big winner is going to be waiting. Mr. Sean Howell.
Sean Powell,
congratulations, you, sir.
Congratulations.
Are the
Sean
winner
Powell. Powell or Howell?
Powell with a P.
Oh, I thought it was like Mr. Howell on Gilligan's Island.
No.
Powell.
Oh, man. Well, that's good. We got two winners. Thank you to everybody who took the time to fill that survey out. We appreciate it. And just to let everybody know, I sent out the stickers to the first like 78 people that filled it out. I have another 30 that will be going out this week, likely tomorrow, but they will be going out this week. So if you haven't received your sticker yet and you filled out the survey, it will be there soon. And to be clear, if you didn't fill out the survey, then we don't have the address to send you a sticker. So that was kind of the other point of it as well.
Have we checked into like sending stickers to every resident in like the United States?
And so we probably should just do that.
That way we can have coverage.
Or just to off the cut patrons.
If we could hack in with our patron base, we could totally hack into their servers and their system completely. Yep. We get that Steve headed
man,
up.
Oh, man, that would be great.
We could hack it. Yeah, we'll have to take that offline. They're going to know our plan. We'll just let it go there. We'll stop there. Change your password.
Well, I will say that as much as it pains me to admit this, we spent an awful lot of time, I know I did, with Off the Cut Podcast.
Well, they say keep your enemies what closer.
Yes,
that's what they say. So
yeah,
I get to hang out, and I met for the first time formally Zach. So
yeah,
you know, I half like the off the cut podcast now. Zach's a great guy.
Well, we like the guys. It doesn't mean we have to
third.
Like the pod. We don't have to like the.
Well, podcast. Yeah, I met the other guy.
Yeah, we met all three of them.
Yeah,
Derek.
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah, Derek Jennings.
So I like two of them.
Just won't say which two.
I just feel like Derek the entire time Eric Spensley was basically just looking for tips and pointers, right? Yeah. Like, how can we make our podcast better? And I kept telling him, I'm like, there's no helping you. The one thing that'll make your podcast better is if you leave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it will be better.
You're not going to get tips and pointers from hanging out with this because he needs to be himself. And if he's himself, podcast isn't very good.
He kept trying to force feed me stickers, but I was using them for all kinds of other things.
I had my stickers today. I was going through. I had Madison in the shop helping me. I have a stack of off the cut in Spensley stickers that's as tall as all of my other stickers that I got because he gave me like two or three every time I saw him. He goes, here's some stickers.
Yeah. He was just throwing money away. Listen to that, patrons. They use your patron money to buy stickers and then just throw them out like they're candy to everybody. Just they're very reckless over there at Off the Cut.
Very.
I feel bad for Zach.
Yeah,
because you know he's like a guy. Yeah, he's such a nice guy. He's such a like a good human being, and he's surrounded by Eric Spensley.
I know. Just you know.
Yeah.
Lowest common denominator. He is.
We can support him however we can, but we can only do so much. I mean, they made their own bed.
Yeah.
You know.
Now they're gonna eat wedge salads in it
and lay in it.
God, but they're big on the Food Channel.
Yeah, they did have excellent food recommendations for the entire event. All right, enough about Off the Cut. They're getting all this publicity, and their podcast is trash. However, it is available on Apple, Spotify, and all other streaming platforms. Let's talk about Workbench Con.
I wasn't there.
What's
I
interesting?
I feel like I wasn't there.
What's interesting is that what people may not realize is we have not been able to talk about WorkbenchCon yet because we're so freaking busy and running around. We don't get to talk to each other hardly at all. So kind of our listeners are hearing us talk for the first time about it because we haven't had time. I actually didn't even get to say bye to Sedge because we broke up one night and everybody, we just kind of, it's just like the last time you see someone. So I'm looking forward to this talk.
You know, I didn't even think about it. This may have been a contributing factor to how I felt, but this is the first year that this is the least amount of time that we spent with each other of all the years that we went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I did notice that, but you know who we did hang out with a lot? And this was my favorite part about WorkbenchCon this year. And this is not just me blowing smoke. The patrons.
Yes.
There was such a big group of patrons there. And we spent a lot of time together, whether it was some of them were with Sedge, some of them were with me, some of them were with all of us. We all were together. What a awesome, awesome community.
And you want to hear something really cool? I had people come up to me and say, wow, you guys got great patrons. You guys have a huge group of your patrons with you. And I go, yeah, man, because we're all friends.
Yes.
We hang out on Beers with the Boys. They go, what? And I go, Bourbon with the Boys. They go, what's that? And Lucy said to me, she goes, I was sitting at the bar with a lot of them, and they are really a great group of people.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
Mike Lydon. I mean, oh, my God.
Mike Lydon wore that sweatshirt the one day.
the green Sears one.
He was repping it. That was awesome.
Feel bad that he ever bought it because that was when Ben set up the swag initially, and that was a very poor quality hoodie.
Well, it looked awesome. I was excited to see it. He sat at my table.
Very weathered.
Lunch, and I was like, that's so cool. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time with them.
Yes.
Do you want me to start and just share my thoughts?
I'm dying.
I'm dying to share. Yeah. This will be the last time that I attend WorkbenchCon in full. There's one exception to that, and it's an exception that will likely not happen. And that is if I am going to teach a class and they're paying for it, then I will go. However, next year, if they have the event, because we all, you know, heard the rumors and all that other stuff while we were there, if they have the event, I will go down there. I will fly down there. I will not buy a ticket to the event. I will fly down there and spend probably that Friday evening just hanging out, the afternoon, evening, hanging out in the bar, having a good time, sleeping, waking up, flying home the next day. Here's my thoughts on that. I think that I have started to outgrow the event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I don't know if it's because I don't enjoy being away from my family more now. I'll tell you what, if the patrons weren't there, I would have not stayed probably. I really wouldn't have.
You know,
that was the best part about it.
I really need to jump in, and something that would probably make you feel a little bit better, because I had the same thought about, am I getting older? Is that what this is? Because I've went 6 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron said, almost 17-year-old said, Dad, maybe it's that we're outgrowing this. That was his exact words. That was his exact words. And by outgrow,
you've had enough.
Well, I think what it is, and yeah. There's going to be people that say it was amazing. It could be some of our patrons, because it's such new concepts and they go over so many new things that you would never learn anywhere else. But when you go year after year, you're putting a different spin on the same class almost every mm-hmm. time. So we're not getting that. And then those of us who've went year after year, we notably recognized how many people were absent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was huge. I was listening. You know how we always get down, and I call it the lower bowl in the lobby. We always had a good group there just chilling out. And I was listening to somebody, and he says, yeah, he goes, I always came in Wednesday, and my crew, there was about 10 of us. And he goes, I was the only one this year on Wednesday. And he goes, most of them didn't show up for Workbench Con. And he's been going every single year. So it's not that it's... I feel that with major trade shows. That's why we don't do them anymore. It's about the trade show company. It's not about the content there. It's not about the people. And I hate saying that, and I'm kind of smirking when both of you were saying, yeah, we kind of outgrew it. Jason, you said it perfectly. If it wasn't the people that support us and they were there, it seemed a lot of them were having a great time. Some of them are getting their content. Their content's getting going. And they needed to be there to hear from some of these guys who mm-hmm. were speaking.
Yes.
Now, my takeaway from the whole time is from 8 o'clock in the morning till, you guys know I go to bed early. My latest night was 9:30 or 9 o'clock. And I got a good story about that night. It's the seminars I attended and the people I met. I'll name the seminars I went to, because I listened to two phenomenal speakers. Michael Alm from AlmFab. He mm-hmm. did Brand Beyond Content. And he is a killer presenter. He did a great job. And also, I was so impressed with Eric Curtis when he did working your woodworking business, but also a second business called Content Creation, and he keeps them separate, but together. And that sounds weird, but I was shocked at the attendance, because I think everybody in that building should have been there. What a killer presenter, super smart individual, great creator, furniture builder, phenomenal. And then I attended the panel with Sam and Cam and Brad. You were there with me. You guys were there with us, right? Yeah, all three of us went to that.
That was the one class.
John Cesara. Yeah. And that was good. But what's cool about that is I did not need to be in there. I caught some really cool tips and tricks in there. But Jason, you said it afterwards. You said, well, it's just good to know that I'm doing the right things. And I said to you, Jason, mm-hmm. I said, I have you, mm-hmm. right? Because you've coached me along the way, getting my YouTube channel going. But my takeaway was from Brad Rodriguez when he said, stop doing shorts on your channel. You're cannibalizing your long form content.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is do a shorts channel.
Before we get into
shorts. And it just brings more people to YouTube. So,
but before we get any deeper into this, I think that we should say very clearly that the opinions that we have about this event, take it with a grain of salt, because we have been there multiple times. Sedge, you, this was your third year?
Fourth, right? I think. Fourth? Third, three or four.
This was four, my fifth, and this was your sixth, Ronnie, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So
I think it's where you are in your journey. It's where you are in your journey. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So what? Here's what I will tell you that I noticed on the very first day. And that was, you know, when everybody's like signing up and like going and getting their badges and all that stuff. I remember distinctly in every year prior to this, the buzz and the excitement and the happiness and the long lines and like everybody just excited to be there. I went up there this time. There was like 11 people up there and it was, you know, there was no, it wasn't loud. It was quiet. There was just a few people putzing around. So I feel like right off the bat, I was like, this just doesn't seem the same. And then when they had that little party and you go into the hall, music was incredibly loud. I could only stand being in there for like 10 minutes. You couldn't talk to anybody. And then that is kind of what set the tone for me over the next couple of days. But again, I have a basis of comparison. You have a basis of comparison. Sedge does. We've been there multiple times. So the excitement is different for us than it is for a person going the first time, going the second time. So we're not saying that, you know, it wasn't a good event. I'm not saying it wasn't a good event. It was the same event that it is every year at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Classes, food in between, networking, brands, hanging out at the bar, getting drunk. Well, there was not really food.
And you know what? And I'll also say, thinking about it, driving, reflecting, doing everything, it did play a part in it that the weather was not nice. It did play a part.
Oh, my God. I also agree with that.
Usually when we go down there, we're just getting ready to break into spring, but you go down to Atlanta and it's like it's like 75, maybe even 78 sunny. And you're like, oh, it's getting ready to be here. And it's always kind of cool because, you know, when you go to Workbench Con, you're going to see a hint of spring, at least for us, where we all live. This year, it looked like morning all day long, foggy, cloudy, just nasty kind of weather where you don't even want to go outside.
Yeah, I think that was the most. It keeps you inside all the time.
Yes, yes.
It was raining.
That's not any fault of the show. That's just the luck of the draw. That results in you staying in the hotel more and eating there more. And it's just it. And, you know, something else on that exact same note that I thought about is I think there was a lot less after type events. Usually there's a lot of vendor. They have special events that they invite people they work to with. I'm not aware of a lot of things that went on outside of it. I don't think there was as much as there usually is. And that's another one of those veteran talk things. Would not matter if it was your first time at WorkbenchCon. Cameron made the comment that it's different since Home Depot was no longer the sponsor. You know, they added a lot of things and there was activities that used to be contests and things that went on. Those are gone now. There's just a lot of changes. And I think going in, if this was your first time, I think your impression of it would be better than the way that we view it. I really do feel that way.
I agree for sure.
They wouldn't be comparing of who was there and who wasn't that was there the year before. And that's what I think was constantly in my mind. And, you know, when you were talking about the lines at the check-in, something I noticed, the back of the W, the last time I looked at it, had about a third of it full of stickers. It's usually covered and people are putting them on top of each other and they're putting them on the front. And Cameron and I are taking them off as people are putting on the front. It was a third at the last day.
Wow.
And that surprised me a lot. That surprised me.
I know we talked about this while we were there, but I really feel like we are becoming the old guys of the event. We are becoming, you know, the group that was the ones that have been doing social media forever and did the first and second Workbench Con. And, you know, some of them still go to the event, some of them don't, but they had been on social media forever already. And I think now we are becoming that group. And I will say, unfortunately, and I'm not happy with myself for this. you know, we've talked about it in the past, you know, complaining about like, hey, these larger accounts are going there and then they're off just doing their own thing and they're not hanging out at any of the events. I did that this year. And I don't love it, right? Because that's not like, this is the first time that I have not spent every waking moment either walking around the floor or in a class with other people. This is the very first time in all of the years that I've gone that I actually left at certain points and went up to my room and hung out alone.
You keep saying things that just I can springboard off from to that point. That affects our Workbench Con experience when we don't go to as many classes. And I think Cameron and I went to three. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so how it's not really fair for us to say that it's not the same in some ways. But I'm sure someone their first year, they filled their schedule up. And I'm sure every single class, I think you get something out of. There was mm-hmm. one that I went to that was amazing. I don't think there was anything said that I hadn't found before on YouTube or Googled. And I hadn't found myself, but it was good to hear it again, especially when Cameron's sitting there with me. It was good to hear again. Even Snodgrass's bandsaw class, I've seen it probably 2 times, but every time I see it, it's amazing. And this time, Cameron's seeing it as someone who uses the bandsaw regularly. Mm-hmm. I think he absorbed all of it. So it's very worth it for him also. I loved that class, and I wish they had more like that. It was a tool expert that has been training on that tool for 30 years, and he knows it inside and out. And he will blow your mind if you've never seen it before. So that was really nice to see that. So I probably would have a little better look at if I did more classes. It's just a lot of them are so similar to what I've taken before. I just didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like going, you know?
Yeah, I check in early. So the last night, Saturday night, I started heading for the elevators about 8:30, 8:40. And as I get to the elevator, I started talking with Izzy, and he was talking with Alex Snodgrass. And you know, that's the first time I met him formally. I've watched bandsaw a couple times here and there. And he goes, "Sedge," and I was like talking with him, and we got selfies going. And he goes, "I own a ton of Festool," and I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And Izzy goes, "Hey, I want a selfie." And we're taking selfies, and there was a guy standing off to the side who was chatting with him, and I go, "Hi, I'm Brian Sedgley." He goes, "Hi, I'm Tom Baudet."
We saw him leaving dinner.
What was cool is you guy go, "Can I get a selfie with you?" He goes, "Hell yeah, I'm going to get a selfie with you." And what was cool, I go, "You want any Festool?" He goes, "Oh, I own a ton of Festool."
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that is neat.
So I go up to the room.
I'm going to be the youngin' in the room, and I'm going to ask who Tom Baudet is.
We'll
leave the light on for you. This is Tom Baudet. We'll leave the light on for you.
You heard the commercials?
Motel
the
6.
Oh.
We'll leave the light on
for you. That's him.
Huh.
So what was really weird is I go up, I crash, and I woke up, bang, 3:15. I said, shit. I'm just going to get in the car and start driving. So I'm down about 3:30, 3:45, get ready to go check out. I get the elevator opens on the 8th floor where I was. out of the elevator comes Keith.
Oh, really?
And he goes, "Sad, where you going?" And I go, "I'm getting in my car and driving." He was just going to bed. I get down to the lobby. Lindsay goes, "Sedge." And I saw 2 or 3 other people as I'm checking out. Everybody was going to bed at 3:30.
We were 2:30.
Yeah. Holy crap.
I actually, the last night, I want to say that I went upstairs around midnight. That was my earliest night. Yeah. I don't want this. I don't want this to just be negative.
No. I think
it hasn't been.
An interesting point of that some people who are like alumni that have been a bunch versus someone's new. It's a show. It's just we have a lot to compare to. I think that's what it comes down to, mm-hmm. including Cameron. Yeah. Cameron's been every year except the first. He's been 5 years. So he had an opinion too. You know,
and it's next year. I won't conflict. I'll have SedgeCon in May.
I agree with Jason. I told Cameron, I'm not going to say I'm not going to go, but I'm not going to go and pay for it. If something came up where I was going and it was paid, because another point, I mean, to point out, I looked back at my email, the first ticket was $279 to Workbench Con. And now it's what? $679 or something like that. $679 was the final price.
Crazy.
Plus hotel, plus travel, plus food outside of, you know, the hotel. It's a pricey trip. You know, it really is. It's worth it for the education if you've never been before, but you really start weighing it as you go every year, what the value of it is. And I think there's a lot of people in that same boat. It's not just us. It's not just us. But
so the real positive thing from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m, I did not stop talking to people.
No, it's great.
Whether it was, hey, Sedge, I want to meet you. Hey, Sedge. Hey, Sedge. And there's a lot of time I wanted to go to possible seminar. I wanted to go talk to a vendor, but I was stopped, and I am not going to not say, hey, hang on. There was one guy, he said, hey, and I went, hey, and we started talking. It was an hour and a half.
Yeah, I missed two because of conversations, but that's fine.
But you don't stop talking. And it's also, as Lucy says, you're renewing relationships.
Yes.
I hung out so many different times with Eric, gorgeous, chilling. And guess what? I did some business on at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, I met some really neat people. So,
and that's another. I was going to say it's another point. We already work with a lot of the companies that are exhibiting there. It's another thing that we do not get value out of because we already have a relationship with a lot of the companies that are there. Somebody coming new, it's a great chance to meet a lot of brands, but we already have. So you can check off that that's not a benefit we get from that. Also, that's another thing.
Yep.
So the thing about outgrowing the event, I think that's where it all comes down to. Maybe we're outgrowing it because we went through the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year of social media. And that's where we are. What are we going to say, Jason?
I wanted to share. You guys might have to continue the conversation here for just a second. My wife is asking me if I can step away for like 2 minutes.
So did you tell her this is the most important hour of your entire life?
So you guys, we can start sharing some things that we like, and then I'll come back and I'll crap on it by telling you the most annoying thing that happened to me while we were there.
So it was cool because some guy came up to me. He said, Sedge, I want to pick your brain. I go, well, I'm going to a seminar. When I come out of the seminar, let's meet for lunch. Not having lunch, we'll meet in the lobby so we can chit chat. He wanted to show me a few cool things. But I go, here's my phone number, and you give me your phone number because I know your time's valuable and my time's valuable. So his seminar, I'm glad I grabbed his phone number because his seminar was running a little bit late, but he was all apologetic and we sat down, and I am so glad I said yes because he's created some really cool things, 3D print, and I'm going to be working with him. And Eric was right there with me. Eric, gorgeous, yes. But it's just, how do you say, it sounds funny. Somebody says, oh, you said you're a people person. I usually go, no shit. But I like finding out what people are doing. And even coming down in the elevator, I met a couple of people and we started chit-chatting. Next thing I know, we walk off the elevator, we're in the lobby, and we talked for 15, 20 minutes because they're just getting started. There's different levels as you get started in social media, but you know they're juggling an Etsy business and also creating content as a sideline. And I said, yeah, sometimes that sideline turns into the major part of your business. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool. I guess I've been involved with social media via Festool forever. Because we didn't call it social media back then when I was doing videos for our website. And, you know, I keep reflecting back, but I started Festool Sedge, which turned into Sedge Tool Tips. And I've been doing that for, I think, Jesus Christmas, 7 years, this March 17th. Wow. Yeah. So I guess I don't want to say I'm an old timer, just reconnecting with friends. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, you know? it's really good to see the people, like you said, the friends that we've known like as long as I can remember. It's so good to see them once a year. And that's where back to Jason's point that even if we weren't going to go, it's worth going there just to go for one night to see everybody and turn around and go back home. I totally agree with that. Totally agree. I totally agree.
I never thought of that, but flying in on a Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. You know who did that? Alan from Rubio.
I didn't even see him. He was behind me at the wall. And Lucy said, Alan was here last night. Apparently he was 20 people from me. Never saw him.
He was staying at a different hotel. He reached out to me, said, hey, can I join you guys for dinner? I said, absolutely. But him and Lucy just hung out at the bar all night while we went over to Murphy's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I missed him. But I did hear he was there. But that's all you need.
We were at Murphy's all three nights because the weather sucked.
Yes. That just changed the thing too. But
that's pretty common though for us.
But then we walk over one night to be dubs. But
so yeah. Jason, you may not know this happened. So you know how they struggled every night to meet the demand of our groups coming down there in the restaurant at Murph's? Well, we go in there Saturday. Sedge, we're like, there were six of us, seven of us. And we sit down at the table. And we're there kind of late. It was after the closing ceremonies. And there was only maybe one or two other tables in the restaurant. And she's like, aren't you with the group that's been here like the last three nights? Aren't you all with that group? And I said, yes. And she's like, well, we've really staffed heavily tonight to be ready for you all. And I was like, okay. And she's like, is there more coming? And I was like, well, the event just got out. Maybe. No one really ever came. So it comes back to the hotel always lives for the weekends. And they do not understand when we show up on Wednesday, we're there to spend money and go into these restaurants. Right. And they're always a skeleton crew in the hotel bar and the restaurants on Wednesday, Thursday. And then on Saturday, they thought they were going to be ready for this crowd that never showed. Because Saturday night is probably the most popular night that people go outside of the hotel. They go out mm-hmm. for dinner. And it showed because the whole time we were there, maybe three tables in the restaurant, and they were heavily staffed that night. So I feel bad for them, but it's crazy to me that they don't learn their lesson because they have the same people working there every year. Mm-hmm. You would think that they would understand the cycle.
I know you guys were talking about, I'll save the thing I wanted to talk about towards the end if we have time, because I almost don't even know if I want to mention it, but.
Hell, I met people in the men's room, not even involved with Workbench Con. Next thing I know, I'm at the bar shooting shit with them.
I had my picture. I had a selfie taken with me in the men's room.
Eric showed me that.
That is wild.
While I was peeing.
I laughed my head off. He showed that to me.
Yeah,
I'd say the funny part for me was when I was standing at the urinal, I knew Jason was four down, and I say something to Jason, and then Sedge answers, I look down, it's like 10 down, you're down on the other end. Didn't even know it. I was like, that's our podcast picture right there.
I was just going to say, that would have made a great podcast picture.
Yeah. It was hilarious. oh, man.
That would actually be a better one for Off the Cut.
I think that was the most time we hung out.
In the urinal.
Boom. Boom.
Yeah.
Get it? Hung out. I want to share some of my favorite things because I've already talked about the things that I didn't love, right? I just think it was just a weird experience for me this year. I loved hanging out with the patrons as much as we did and meeting a lot of them and getting the picture and just getting to know them better. I really enjoyed that. And I think it's really cool that a lot of these guys came because we talked about it and we said, you know, this would be a cool opportunity for you to come. And now they're spending that money and they're coming out and hanging out. So I just want to say thank you to the patrons. I know we all do. Because that made the event worth it for me.
I agree fully.
I only went to one class, the Lincoln Street and Brad and all those guys. But I did have, even though I wasn't feeling the event itself so much, I still had a fantastic time, which, to be honest with you, you know, when I was reflecting on it a little bit today, the entire reason I go there, and I know that I publicly state, like, I don't go for the classes, I go to hang out. I had a wonderful time every evening. I had one night, I had an amazing conversation with Brad Rodriguez. I had an incredible conversation with John Malecki. Probably the best conversation I've ever had with John, the longest conversation I've ever had with John. Matt Outlaw from 731 and his wife, I had a wonderful conversation with them Saturday night. Spent a lot of time with the Off the Cut guys, and I always love hanging out with them because even though that, you know, we have this little funny rivalry going, they're good dudes and they're a lot of fun to hang out with. except Eric Spensley. Screw that guy. And, you know, obviously I talked to many other people many, many times, met a lot of great people, met one person I'm not a huge fan of. And that's the person that I'm not going to say who the person is, but I'll share the story at the end if we have time. But I guess I just want to say that to let everybody know.
Now, I'm really interested in that.
Do you want to hear the story?
Do I know that person?
I think I told you the story. Oh, wait, before. One of my favorite highlights from the weekend was actually when we did go to the Battery on Thursday morning. Me, John from Lincoln Street, Travis from Shop Nation, Matt from MWA, who else? Suman, Scott Walsh, Steve came over there. I had a Rolla. And then at some point, Michelle and Patrick and Dirk and Stephanie came over and had some food and hung out for a little bit too. But it's a golf simulator, indoor simulator bar. And we had a fantastic time. Like, that was really, really, really fun for me. And Travis and John are some pretty good golfers too. So that was fun. We played a bunch of games. Each one of us won one time. It was a really, really fun time and fun experience. And that was the first time that I had ever been to the Battery.
Wow.
What's the Battery?
That's awesome. That's across the bridge where the stadium is, the baseball stadium, all the restaurants and events around that park, basically. Yeah.
And it's a really nice, like, little shopping area, food area.
They have a yard house over there, right?
Yes. And so when the weather's nice, back to that weather, more people end up being out there. But when the weather's bad, you can walk over there and it's still like a ghost town. All those restaurants have loft apartments over them. It's like kind of a place where you can live and play and work if you work from home. So it's a really, when they come out, especially at night when there's really nice nights, kids are playing in the AstroTurf little area in front. It's just different when it's a cold and rainy. It's a little bit different.
All right. Do you guys want to hear?
Can I share the
story? Sedge, I think we all heard this at WorkbenchCon, but not everybody was there. So let's share the story. I will not mention any names just because I almost don't even want to shed more light on this person/podcast. But on Thursday, before we went to go play golf, I walk up to a group of my friends and an individual there looks at me and says, "Oh, Jason Bent." I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I shook his hand and he goes, "Oh, I'm such and such. I met you you blew me off at the Austin Woodworking Festival." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, I just was talking about you on my podcast." And I'm like, "Great." And then he said, I was like, "Well, how did I blow you off?" He's like, "Well, when we were there, I saw you and I was walking towards you and I made eye contact with you and you shared you looked at me. I saw you look at me and I was going to stick my hand out and then you turned your head and, you know, walked away. Like, it totally blew me off." And I'm like, "I don't think that happened," right? Because I go to those shows for that reason specifically. And who knows, you could have just been a regular person walking by and didn't make any sort of gesture to trigger to me that you wanted to meet, right? And that's one thing that's very frustrating about this is that some people are so timid when it comes to that. Like, how would you know that they're going to do that? Unless they say, like, wave their hand, like, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to come meet you, put your hand out." So anyways, this person clearly didn't like it. But it really rubbed me the wrong way. And if I'm being honest, this kind of changed my tune from the time that it happened, because the next thing that came out of his mouth, he said, "Yeah, I was just talking about you on the podcast." I said something like, "F Jason Bent." And I'm like, who is this? You know what I mean? Like, who are you and what the heck is going on right now? And then he said, "Hey, can we get a selfie together?" And I'm like, you just got done telling me that I'm a horrible human being, basically, and that you don't like me and, you know, F me. And then you ask me for a selfie. Here's where it gets really funny. That same story happened with like two other people there. Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm just now starting to see some of what you're talking about. And if it wasn't for Cameron, when I walk around with Cameron, he's my little sharp conscience. He's also my little devil on my shoulder saying don't go to a class. He's like my side person that, like, when I think I feel a certain way, he backs it up or he tells me I'm being wrong. You know, it's kind of nice. He's always felt like an adult. He's been doing that since he was like 11. But we got off the elevator one morning. And you know how I always say, I'm from Kentucky. Even though I'm in New York, I say, hey, hi. Even though people don't say anything back, don't know who they are, but I go, hi. Whatever it takes, you know. Elevator open. A guy was standing there, and I was like, hi. The morning, you know, hi. And he goes, Dad, do you know that guy? That guy's the guy that came up to you last night and said he listened to your podcast, and you talked to him for like 10 minutes. And I was like, when people change their clothes and they're wearing a different color, right. I have male face blindness. I know I do. Sometimes when people say, oh, I'm going to be at this next show, and while he's talking to me, I'm sitting there going, what's going to make me remember this face? Because it's so hard to remember. So what I'm trying to figure out is, how do you remember? I think that people that maybe follow you, have seen your things before, they know you and they'd recognize you. But when you're meeting someone the first time or you haven't met, it's hard to act like you know them the way they know you. Mm-hmm. I think that's a struggle.
And the other thing,
go ahead.
Well, the other thing that I think a lot of people don't realize or think about is that, like, for every single like they say, like, don't meet your idols, right? And I hate saying that because I do not consider anybody in social media necessarily to be an idol, right? They're just people that film themselves and they're successful on a platform, right? But how many people did we meet? How many people came up to us and said, hey, I just want to meet you? There's no way that we could remember every single person. And then, or what about the person that you did meet 6 months ago at another event where you met 700 other people? Right. You have not talked to them at all since then. And then they come back and you're like, oh, nice to meet you. And then they're like, well, we actually met here. And they like take offense to it. It's like, it's not meant to be offensive. It's that when you meet and talk to as many people as we do, it's impossible to remember. Sedge, you're muted.
While you're unmuting, to what you're saying, if it had not been for Cameron telling me that I had talked to him, that I would have went on my merry way and I just said hi to a stranger I've never talked to. I would have not even known if he hadn't told me that. So, like, it's so easy for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's so easy for that to happen. And it made me feel very self-conscious. This was on like towards the last day. And I started thinking, I've got to figure out a way to try to remember.
Don't try.
It's impossible.
It's impossible, Ronnie.
It's so hard. And, you know, I struggle even with that. There was three times that somebody was talking to me about something. And I was like, I said something along the lines of, well, in my van. And they said, I know. And at first I was like, how do you know?
Yes, I know. Oh, no. Isn't that weird?
It's so weird.
I had a bunch of people. Everywhere I go, hey, Sedge, how you doing? I go, hey, I'm doing good. And I'm standing there talking to them. And I go, I say it right now. Have I met you? No.
That's good. That's a good thing to say.
But there's a flip to that. And this is the stuff. I love remembering people. My parents were great at it. And I'm pretty good at it. But people go, when I say, hey, have I met you? And they go, yeah, about 13 years ago. Like, I'm going to remember everything about them. I meet thousands and thousands of people at trade shows, and I do a lot of trade shows, or I did a lot of trade shows. And what's cool is nice people say, don't worry about it. I know you meet a lot of people, but I try to remember as many as I can. Hey, I got a question. We took that patron photo.
Yeah.
Can I get a copy of that?
I don't have it. Whose phone did we use?
Who has it?
Dragonfly. It was either Patrick or Michelle.
Okay.
It was
was I in that photo? Yeah.
You were, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So no, I'm serious. There's a lot of shit happened. And yeah, you can mix alcohol in with that. But
yeah.
Right?
On top of it. Yeah.
But still, it was such a blur. I took so many selfies with people, and I'm not bragging, but you know, sometimes I said, man, I took a lot of selfies, and I look at my, it was selfies on other people's cameras, right? So,
well,
yeah, I didn't.
We meet so many people, and especially at that event. So I used to, Ronnie, I'll tell you, I used to feel bad. I don't anymore. I just go, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, as long as you, I guess as long as you're, I'm being friendly, even if it's my casual high, I don't want to look, it's just that people can catch you definitely in the wrong space, you know, it, where you're just in thinking, you're like, okay, I'm gonna go to this class, I'm gonna grab something to eat, I'm gonna do, and you pass somebody in the hall and you go, hey, and you come across as not being, you know, nice. That's what I, that's what kind of makes me almost feel paranoid. But I was so pleasantly surprised at how many people came up and said they listened to the podcast. That blew me away.
Isn't that great?
The first night at the meetup, someone asked, and they said, how many people do you all have here in your podcast? I said, I would listen to your podcast, like patrons. I said, we probably 5 or 6. And then a day in,
there were at least 13. Yeah.
There were at least 13. But that was right when we were starting the event. I was just hoping for 5 or 6. And then just patrons, people that listen was more than that. And it was really cool.
And the thing is we forget about this. Patrick and Michelle are patrons. Eric Gorgeous is a patron. You know, I always forget, but they're patrons.
Yes.
But the other thing is, it's become a thing where, oh yeah, that's right. Dirk and Stephanie are patrons.
Yes.
they're like family.
Yes.
Right.
It was a different type of year because we had such a big support group with us. It made it so much better.
Oh my God.
You know,
I could not believe Steve was there. I knew Lido was coming.
Yeah.
But Steve was there and Don. Oh my God. It was so cool. And I'm forgetting everybody.
Justin,
but then all of a sudden this guy, Matt, goes, yeah, I'm a patron. I'm like, oh my God.
Speaking of that, we need to let Mike Lido start buying lottery tickets for us. Because did you all notice he won the ticket through Green Suitors with the podcast? Then he won the total boat drawing. He won everything there. He's a lucky dude, which is awesome.
He is.
So he needs to start buying us some lottery tickets.
Luck of the Irish.
You know what's funny? His name came super close to winning the one of the festival things.
No shit.
He's a real giving guy.
Yes,
he is. He is. And you know also what Cameron brought up himself. I think it's interesting that Cameron noticed it. He goes, have you noticed that your patrons are like really interesting people? He's like, they all do something like really cool in life. He's like, they're like rescuing people, digging up, like going down and getting dead bodies out of the water. They work for Cisco. They are all accomplished in their world.
Oh, yeah.
And they're into woodworking to some level, but it's so interesting to hear what they all do. It's really impressive.
Except Eric Spensley, who is a patron, and he is not accomplished at all. not at all.
So, Ronnie, Saturday night, I'm going to my room, and I'm looking at that freaking cable. There's no way you can make the jump to it. The gravity, that's too far out. I don't care if you have magic gloves. You cannot make it to that cable.
He's talking about a cable. It's like a chandelier. Think of a chandelier that hangs 14 stories from the top of the trusses. And every year we're there, Cameron's like, if I wore really big gloves, I could dive out and grab onto the cable and slide down. And I'm like, Cameron, what if you missed? He goes, I wouldn't miss. I'd bear hug it. And it's just a conversation we have every year about it. And so we bring up Mike Lidos, he's also a fireman. He does all the rigging and everything. And he got into the conversation one night, and we were discussing it down to the level of, even if you made it, the chandelier is like 2.5 stories off the ground. You're going to die when you jump off there. Cameron's like, no, that's when I start swinging. And I'm going to let it swing, and then I'm going to jump over to the second level balcony. And it's just a fun conversation. And that's the first time we've included other people in it, and it's great. But it's fun, and it is fun, and it's funny. I think sometimes when you're coming home, even now, right now, we are so tired right now from that event. It was only 2 days ago. I think what happens sometimes, you have to recover from it a little bit, And then like say a week from now, I'll probably have a better, even more fond memory of it. It's just, I am so wiped out. I mean, we start at 8 o'clock and we go to 2:30 in the morning, and we do that, you know, 4 days in a row. It wipes you out to the point of today. Do you know what I accomplished today for the most part? You know, that Powermatic cleaner that I have mounted to my wall, the air cleaner.
Yeah.
I vacuumed that office.
Nice.
I actually cut some wood on my table saw today.
No, I mean, I drywalled. I rolled some popcorn ceiling on my demo area and mudded it.
I struggled today, and it reminded me, I forgot my rule. A good rule is when you go on a trip like that, make the day back, be off for it. I don't count Sunday because we came back, you know, in, late in the afternoon, but it's such a good idea to schedule the first work day back, schedule that off as well. So I tried to force myself to do some things today, but I needed almost like a recovery day just from the lack of sleep. And I still had a good day.
I got quite a bit done today. I actually got up. First thing this morning, went to the gym, came home, and just got straight to work. Like, got a lot of computer stuff done. Went out in the shop, cleaned up a little bit, cut some wood for the video series I'm getting ready to shoot for Nicole. I did want to ask, do you guys remember that girl that we met, Jess?
Yeah,
the Living Jess Timber Andrews. Co.
She reached out to me today, said thanks, nice meeting you.
So she is going to be doing, you should have just got the pictures, by the way. She's going to be doing my sign on my new logo.
Oh, yeah. I heard you say that.
Yeah.
I saw it. She makes some really good things.
She does a really, really good job on those signs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She does.
That Ferrari one?
What pictures?
I looked at that today.
Oh, wait. No, never mind. It's Dirk's got them. I need to sell. Let me text Dirk.
Yeah, she does. She really does a good job. I've checked out her. She started following me after I met her in the out by the lobby, and I checked her workout that night, and I was like, wow, she makes some really cool stuff. I ended up scrolling through her whole feed, looking at everything. It was like really impressive. Not just signs cut out. Not just signs for like scroll saw. She does like three-dimensional, like the horse on the Ferrari emblem is actually.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
That was really cool. The paint, you see how clean the paint looks on that?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I was most impressed with. I was like, holy cow, that looks incredible.
And that's an example.
She's from Chicago, right?
Northern Chicago, like Arlington Heights. I brought up that up. She said she's really close to there. That would be an example of meeting new people is just really cool. Meeting new makers that I, even though she has a good following, I have never came across her page, and she has a, you know, good following. It's just,
she told me that she was into social media and like really, really getting heavy into it, and then ended up just stopping because she needed a break and like took like basically like a year plus off. And you know, anytime that happens, it's really hard to get back in the groove. But now she's like super motivated to get back into it, she says. So,
well, that's cool.
But I was showing Michelle, I think I was showing Michelle and a couple other people at the table, the redesigned logo. And she just happened to be sitting there. And she said, I was like, oh, you do signs? I didn't know at the time. I was like, you do signs? I was like, you know, I may need somebody. She's like, believe me, I saw your logo. She's like, I was already thinking in my head how I would go about doing that. I'm like, well, 100%, if you want to do it, it's yours.
Man, I can't wait to see how you could top the logo you have now. I love your logo. I love it.
Did I not show you the new one?
No, but the one you have now, I love it. What's wrong with it?
It's when you see my new one, and this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted with this whole thing. This was Nicole's idea to refresh the logo. And she makes a good point. She's like, you've been doing this long enough now. I think that you need to take the current logo that you have and you need to make it look a little bit more grown up and professional and clean. And I'm like, okay, I'll entertain this. And so we went back and forth with a design team, which she found. And the logo, if you were to look at my new logo, you wouldn't look at it and go, geez, like that doesn't seem like Ben's Woodworking. Like you would see it and see Ben's Woodworking, you'd immediately probably not even think twice about it, right?
Okay. Okay.
So it's not a significant change.
Oh, good, good.
It's not as busy. It's just way more clean, way more basic.
So it's like another level of the Starbucks logo, like in that Michael Long class.
Yeah.
How they've changed it, four times?
I wouldn't know.
You were in that class, right?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
I just sent it.
Okay.
You'll see what I'm talking about.
I had to go look at you. Yes. I had to go look at your old logo.
So, you know,
I didn't see the difference right away.
Well, I think the difference is the jagged. That's what I was hoping for. Like the jaggedy font is gone. It's like a cleaner font. That's a perfect example of what Michael Ahn was talking about, how Starbucks went from really, you know, it's more intricate and you go simple, more simple and more simple. So yours looks very similar. It's just simplified. Yeah. Okay. I'm good.
Michael Ahn said, don't do any text.
No, he's saying don't do anything other than, a lot of extra text. And it needs to be squint proof.
Now I got to get mine changed.
No, yours is squint proof. No, he said text, but he wants it. You should be able to squint and it should be recognizable. And it is.
That's
right now. And I agree with
that. When I left there, I went, okay, I'm glad Chris designed the Sedgetool logo like it is.
Yeah, just that lightning bolt is recognizable.
And the tack. You know, the T for tool is the tack. Yep.
Yeah. No, that was good.
It's kind of like superhero.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. So, and that's what I wanted because I had read I said, I don't want any text on there. Mm-hmm. You know, I want it to be like, oh, that's Sedgetool. And I talked to Mike Ahn afterwards for quite some time about it. And he said, yeah, he goes, you'll be surprised over the years how it'll be more and more recognized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's little things like that. Sometimes it's one thing you can take from a class that just one little thing that's, you know, a little golden nugget.
Yeah.
There was a few things I got from this Alex Snodgrass bandsaw class, even though I went through it twice. After I went through his class, you know, I applied a lot of the things. And then there were still some things he said where I was like, I'm not doing that part. Or, you know, that was it. You learn each time you go through it, you kind of comprehend it a little bit more each time you go through it. That was the first time it was almost overwhelming amount of knowledge to go through. And this time it's like I'm getting it more each and I'm using the bandsaw more. And it was cool. After the class, I took him up there. I showed him a picture of he made a reindeer for Cameron in 2018, like 6 years ago when Cameron was 10. And it was cool to, you know, see the same person. And of course, I don't expect to remember it, but I told him that he did. So it's kind of cool. And I heard him say that he was no longer going to teach like woodcraft classes anymore. It sounds like he's maybe backing off a little bit is what I'm getting.
I wouldn't be surprised because last year he had a ridiculous schedule and contract with them.
Yeah, he does this year too. So he said when he finishes up, I think he said he had like 70 stops and he's on 20 right now. And
70 stops in a year.
Yes, in a year. And he said that if you would like to see, you know, the cutting board class or something, to look up his local woodcraft. And he said this is the last year he's doing it. So he is a wealth of knowledge. And something that I noticed when he's, you know, when you have someone who's taught something hundreds and hundreds of times, there was not a note card. There was nothing. There wasn't a thing to give him. He knew this thing dead on, never a stutter. He's dropping knowledge faster than you could type. You can tell he's honed this over and over and over again. So that was a very, very valuable class. And I'm glad that it was full. I was in the first one. There was two. It was full, which is good. There's a lot of good stuff that came out of. I just think we all kind of just want to compare the past and present.
Yeah.
I think there's just a new generation coming through. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah. So that would be the other thing that, and I think we talked about this at the show. The thing that I noticed is, because I spend a lot less time on social media, and when I am on there, it's for the very select group of individuals that I just happen to be following that I see. I don't know who most of the people are, all these new accounts, all these new younger things. But when you really think about it, like, it's no different from when we went for the first time. And we were looking at people like Brad and April and John and all these other people that have been on social media forever. And we're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, they're the established accounts. And, you know, now you can tell that they're probably getting a little bit less interested in going. Now we're in a point where we've been going there for years and there's all these new younger accounts that, you know, they're going to be the next Brad Rodriguez. They're going to be the next John Malecki. They're going to be the next April Wilkerson. It's a big world. Yeah. You know, there's so many people out there. There's so many accounts. There's so many people I didn't even know. Like,
yes,
they have huge accounts. And I'm like, oh, who are you? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. Cameron, I talked to Brad Rodriguez, and he's talked to Cameron every year since the beginning. And we didn't just talk
he's
to him.
A great
we talked
dude.
To him. He is so
he
great.
is.
We talked to him, just Cameron and Brad, and for a while, Steve, you know, one of our patrons, was with us as well. And he talked to us for probably 45 minutes. Opening night, he just took the time, and he just was truly engaged, talking to Cameron about 3D printing, talking to him about all kinds of things. Really got Cameron's mind going. Talked to us forever. Jimmy Dressed is the other one. Always talks to Cameron. He always wants to catch up. And we even saw him in the parking lot one day, and he was there with his girlfriend, and we talked for 15, 20 minutes. He's just, they're great people, and it's good to see them. Back to Jason's point, if nothing else, come down there just to see people. It's just a lot of really good people.
One of the things I wanted to do this year, because I kept telling Cam, I'll get it done. I'll get it done. Remember the 3D scan from DIY Dave?
Yes.
He brought the scanner, but he had it up in his room. So I went up to Dave's, and he goes, we could do it now. We could do it tonight or tomorrow. I go, let's go now. And he Smart. Goes, okay. And we went up. And he scanned, and it's pretty cool. So
that's smart.
So I told Cam, hey, scan. So Lucy said something to me about, I heard you get scanned by Dave. And I went, uh-oh. So Lucy thought it was cool. The other hit was for
Did
me.
Did you have clothes
was,
on?
Yes. Unfortunately, he said, yeah, you got to keep your clothes on. So what was cool was my breakfast with Lucy on Saturday morning before she took off. Derek from Malden came over and hung out with us.
Oh yeah, he's a cool guy. I didn't get to talk to him this year.
He's
Usually
such
I do.
A nice guy.
Yeah, he's really
neither
nice guy.
Did I. I totally missed him the entire time until I was waiting for my lift and he was packing his car up. I was like, how did we make it this entire time and not talk to each other? He's like, I didn't even know you were here. Like,
so for me, it started on Friday. He goes, you coming down to Workbench Con? And I go, no, not this year. He goes, oh, come on. So no, it was Thursday night he started. All day Friday I didn't see him, so I kept saying, yeah, I decided not to come down. He goes, you ought to come down. I go, okay, I'll jump in my car and come down. And then he saw me at the buffet on Saturday morning, and he came over. I'm getting reverb, but he came over and he looked at me and goes, you're a dick.
You know,
it's funny, but there's a lot of people that I saw but didn't have the opportunity because I was talking to somebody and they were passing.
Yep.
And Jason, that person who said that about you at the Austin Festival, it's unfortunate because that happens to me all the time. And I don't want to be rude to people, but I'm talking to somebody. I am not going to say, hey, hold on a second. Right?
Yeah.
And that person not understanding that is a jerk. I'm sorry. I'll call it out.
I don't.
To say, and then
I don't.
But, no, but then to say that to you.
Yes. Yes. And then say, no hard feelings. Hey, can we get a selfie? I was just so dumbfounded by the whole thing. I'm like, what is going on?
Right. That sounds
there's
like
a whole
there
bunch
were,
more to this, but
sounds like there were hard feelings and it was just hard enough. You just want to throw it out there. I know two people that I see every year that I was not able to talk to in the final night. I like finally caught up, like always talked to Bill with Ethan. Always talked to him. Johnny Brooke Crafted.
He's
there
he's
every
a good
year.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I saw him once. And then I didn't see him again. And Cameron, you know, he always talks to Cameron for a while. He's on the list of the people that always we saw him. And I was like, Cameron, better go talk to him. His last night. And I was like, hey, I saw you once. I didn't see you again. He's like, I left to go to a funeral in Florida. So he went to WorkbenchCon, flew down to a funeral in Florida, and then came back. I mean, that shows you like how much people put a priority on this event. And it was good to see him again. But that's why you may have seen him in the beginning and seen him at the end and didn't see him in the middle. And I will say one other thing, to the point of the Jason thing, there's a guy that I have not cared for the entire time at the show. I've even talked openly about it before on our Years of the Boys and our after thing. I actually talked to him this time, and he came off as a nice guy. And Jason, you were standing there when he was talking to me, and he actually was friendly. He was nice to Cameron, and that's me doing the same thing that Jason's talking about, this guy did. I judged this guy because he didn't know me, and just my interaction with him every time at WorkbenchCon, he's been there every year, and this time it was different. So it's like sometimes you can just catch people at the wrong time, or you can just be at the time when they're thinking about something. They just may have seen an email on their phone. And I probably was too quick to judge him. And I've openly bashed this guy so many times. And I kind of, Cameron said the same thing. He's like, Daddy seemed like he was, I was like, yeah, he does. He did seem, you know.
I always feel, it really bothers me when that kind of stuff happens, which this is the first time that's ever happened to me, like in a one-on-one public situation. I've had people like comment on YouTube videos or something, but the reason why it bugs me so much is because, you know, there's a lot of people in this community that are not open. They're there to make money. They don't communicate with their fans. They don't communicate with through DMs. They don't respond to comments. They don't do anything. They're there for one thing and one thing alone, and that's to make money. And I have always prided myself as somebody who has gone the extra mile in effort to be extremely approachable, respond to every comment. So when I get that kind of stuff, it's like, trust me, at no point was I ever, ever doing anything to be, you know, spiteful or rude or
snobby,
whatever,
right?
Or snobby. Like, I do not consider myself to be anything special at all. I just make YouTube videos. Like, that's it. That's it, right? So, like, it's just frustrating, right? Because some people are just, like, introverted and they're very shy. And so, like, if it doesn't go exactly the way they were hoping for, it's, like, whatever. But I try to bring everybody in on the conversations. One thing I would like to state, and this is specific to patrons. For all of you guys that get to meet us in these public events, and the next opportunity is going to be at JLC. So if you live in the Providence, Rhode Island area and you want to come hang out, go to JLC and go to the US Tool and Fastener booth, because we'll all be there. But you have to tell it. If you're not in beers with the boys or bourbon with the boys every single month, you have to say, like, if we've never met you, please tell us that you are a patron. Please tell us, right? Because we want to say thank you, but we are not going to know. If you just come up and say, hey, my name is Bill, and it's like we're expected to know that you're a patron, like, it's just not going to happen unless you're Bill, who's on every Bourbon with the Boys, and we're on there for 6 hours, you know, talking. And, like, we know you like your family.
Yeah, or if they even listen to the podcast, or if they watch your YouTube, or if they watch, they follow you on Instagram. It really helps when they start with that. Because if somebody tells me they follow me on Instagram, I instantly know everything they know about me, you know, and it's almost like a common point to start. But if they're talking to you and thinking, they're assuming that you know, you don't. And that's a really good tip to tell somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I never have the assumption that people that I'm talking to know who I am.
Yes, I agree.
And that happened 25 times at WorkbenchCon. I'd be sitting next to somebody that I'd never met. We're talking. They're like, oh, what do you do? Are you on Instagram? Do you have a YouTube channel? I'm like, yeah, it's Ben's Woodwork. And they're like, oh, cool, I just subscribed. So that just goes to show you that, like, I didn't know who Cam from Blacktail Studio was until WorkbenchCon at last year. And I asked, because everybody kept saying, Cam this, Cam that, Cam said that. And I'm like, who is this Cam guy? And they're like, Blacktail Studio, you don't know that? I'm like, no, I don't know what Blacktail Studio is. Who is he? And then I looked at his channel. Oh yeah, turns out he's the biggest freaking account in the woodworking space. How did I not know? I've been on YouTuber for a woodworking channel for, I don't know, coming up on 6 years now. How did I not know that this person existed? It's just the way that it works.
You all were talking, a month ago about 731? And I've never seen a thing from him. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And I look and he's huge. And so I started following him, and now I see all of his posts. But for some reason, Instagram did not show me his things. And that just happens. I had never made it through the silo that showed me his. And it's strange. It just shows you how many people. And there's another benefit of WorkbenchCon. It brings a lot of people together that for some reason the algorithm hasn't shown you their posts. You get to meet them and find out that way.
Speaking of 731 Woodworks, I got really excited while we were talking. really excited while we were talking. So we're like, we're sitting there BSing back and forth, and I catch him as we're talking. He like quickly glances down and like looks at my watch. Right. And I'm like, I knew, I triggered me in my head. I'm like, the only reason he's looking at my watch is because he might be into watches. And so we got like another 30 minutes went by of us talking. And finally he looked at me and he said, what kind of watch is that? And I was like, oh, it's a Rolex Submariner. And he was like, oh man, I'm wanting to get a watch. I'm like, are you a watch guy? He's like, dude, I watch more watch videos than I do woodworking videos. So I'm like, oh my God, we just became best friends because that's all I watch now is watch videos. So I was like, do you know this guy? And he was like, oh yeah, I know who all them are. And we started BSing and the conversation completely changed. He's in the market for, to get something for his first nice watch. So I was probably a very bad influence on him that night. But it just made me very excited because Matt and I have, we have really started to communicate a lot more over the past 6 months or so, because when I look around at other people that are in this space, you know, I try to compare myself to others and figure out like, what channel am I most closely aligned with? And his is definitely up there. It is definitely one of them. And he has been a very big help for me. So anyways, that was totally sidetracked, I know, but I just got super excited because I, the whole watch thing to me, I love it.
I've been meaning to ask you, did you ever look at that link that I sent you a while back about the YouTube channel of the guy who repairs Rolexes? He takes them apart.
Yes.
They're like hour long videos.
Yes, they're amazing.
He completely dismantles. He'll take a Rolex. He'll say that, tell the story with it. And while he's doing it, he records it. And you see that the video is like 55 minutes, 1 hour long. You're like, well, I'm not going to watch the whole thing. And you look up, you've been watching half of it. I watched the entire thing. He's taking tweezers and he's pulling off. He calls every part what it is, which is impressive in itself. He's like, I'm going to take off the hair winder. I'm going to take off the side thing. And every whole time you're like going, didn't I, you remember where you put that? And you put, and I have a theory. The reason why he records it is just for reference in case he needs to look back. But I really think this guy knows so much. I don't think he needs to. But he completely dismantles the watch, cleans everything, then puts it back together, and you get to see it like start working again. Anyone who's not a watch person, if you watch how those things are constructed, it is unbelievable.
It's incredible.
They work. It is unbelievable. I mean, it has to be one of the most amazing machines that have ever been made. It really is cool.
I agree.
It's fun to watch.
What? One thing that came up a lot, because like the patrons and stuff, I know Sedge is clearly bored by the watch talk, but
hey, you watch one, you'll be interested. You're a machine guy.
Hey, I like to watch.
No, it's really cool. I watched one and now it's on my feed regularly, and I've only watched three of his. This guy has a massive following, and I can imagine what his retention rate is. Because are you going to watch half of it be put together?
No. I'm gonna watch the whole thing.
So he's got a great channel.
Gotta watch the whole thing.
I don't even know what he looks like. It just shows his hands the whole time.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Long story short, WorkbenchCon sucked. Never going. I'm just kidding. It was good. You know, actually talking about it like this has actually helped change my opinion.
I could have been at the Arnold watching the elephant deadlift where Thor pulled 1,061 pounds. Deadlift.
That's a lot.
That's where I'll be next year. Going for 2 days.
That's a lot.
My God, it's so much fun. It's just, you should have seen the competitions they had there. It was awesome. I was watching the feed from it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I wish the weather was better. I do feel like I kind of felt a little stuck in there. That was definitely a downer. Even when we left you left early at 3, you know, we left at like 8:39 and it still looked like 5 or 6 in the morning, foggy to the point of that I had to have the windshield wipers on because the fog was hitting the window and it wasn't raining, but it was like that all the way till we were in Tennessee. Yeah, until 11:30. 11:30 the sun came out.
Did you take 75 north out of there?
Yes, Chattanooga.
Okay, so, and
over to. Yeah, we have Chattanooga to Knoxville.
There were times I was like really worried because the fog was so dense about between 4 and 7. I stopped at Bucky's for a sandwich, right?
Of course you did.
Biscuit that you have to, biscuit, yeah, a sausage, and egg. And I'm going to tell you, it was because that's, you know, deer. You got to really watch out. And there was a lot of roadkill on 75 and 24 and 40, and it was wild.
It was still foggy at 10 o'clock. Yeah. At 11, it started clearing up. It's still cloudy. And 11:30, yeah, when we were in Knoxville, the sun came out. That was the first time. And it was supposed to be sunny all day. So it was, I think they threw the weather off.
I pulled in about 12:15. Marianne freaked out. She's like, "You're home."
Did you hear the back door slam and like a guy take off running?
Yeah. Oh my God. I caught a, you know, he was pulling his pants up across the common ground. It's okay. He installed a couple ceiling fans for me.
He was in the window seat.
I wanna shout this out because it literally just happened. We'll make sure we call it out at the beginning of the next episode in case they don't make it this far. But Tony's Woodworks just edited their membership of the Green Suitors podcast from the $5 tier to the apprentice tier.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's $20 a month, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
He was at WorkBenchCon.
Yeah.
So you said Lisa Ryland, Tony's Woodworks, and the other one was Bailey, right?
Yeah, Bailey.
Yes. Was it Lisa Ryland?
I thought you said Ryland.
Lisa, yeah.
Ryland. Oh,
man, you have a good memory. Lisa Ryland. Yep.
Well, I'm trying to remember. I'm kind of
Bailey
I'm...
upgraded and now Mr. Tony upgraded.
Awesome. That's really good. Yeah, I'm bad with names. I'm trying to remember. It's not me. I remember colors.
So,
which is not a good thing.
While we got a few minutes left, I know I really did want to get together, the three of us, and chat a little bit about some podcast stuff, which we really didn't do. However, we did discuss the idea of that we definitely know we need to do a meetup. And I think WorkBenchCon really solidified that.
Yes.
To the point where I think we could probably come up with a fairly decent short event somewhere. So for everybody listening, we are talking about it. This is going to be open to all patrons, correct? Like, we're not limiting this to like any patron can come.
All patrons.
Yes.
It's going to be, as of right now, it's very good chance it's going to be in the Cincinnati, Ohio area. Mm-hmm. What we're going to be doing, we don't know yet. It'll probably be like a Friday night dinner, Saturday all day doing something. People fly out on Sunday, right?
Yep. I'll get my butt down there right after Festool Live.
And we all need to catch up because I believe I was in three sub meetings about this event alone. And there was a lot of brainstorming going on and a lot of progress was made. Yes. A lot of progress was made. Why did you not
share this with us, Ronnie?
We didn't have a chance. I knew we talk all the time. So it's like we always said,
he's trying to keep all this stuff for himself. Then he'll plan it.
Oh,
it was all my idea.
You. No. I was
Fulton Con.
It's going to be pretty much all about me. I'm just kidding. We did make some leeway. I've talked to some different, I'll share with you. I think I've got a good grid work that I can see the making of a really nice event for our patrons and for us as well. I think it'd be really good.
And like that can't be too difficult to, you know, section off maybe get a dinner catered or section off a hotel and make a big reservation based on how many people are coming or like a banquet room or something like that. And then, I think that this would be worth hashing out. And I really do think, Midwest is a great location based on where everybody is located. Cause I looked at that list today, the newest list that has the 100 and something people on there. And I really do. I think it'll be I'm excited about it. We're going to do our own little event.
Me too.
The main thing I'll share about the Cincinnati one that I've talked to some others that the airport CVG is the code for the Cincinnati airport, which is actually in Northern Kentucky. It's right on top of the hill from where we're talking about this is. Even if you didn't want to rent a car, it's a very short ride right down the hill. And Cincinnati is also an expensive town compared to a lot of places. So I don't think people are going to get gouged for hotel rooms and that kind of thing, which is nice. Because when you're going just to hang out with people, there's no reason to go somewhere where hotels are just extravagantly high. There's no reason.
I'm sure that we'll be able to contact the hotel and get some sort of discounted rate if it's multiple people. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, even at the starter rate, we're going to be starting a good place and we can go from there. And then we also talked about Lost Art Press is there. You know, they're right next to the, which a lot of people are familiar with. It's the woodworking. They have a lot of the, they publish a lot of the books that are in all the bookstores and they usually have special events there.
I'd love to go there.
It's right by this whole area. So, I just think it would be a great place to base it out of. So we're going to commit to getting it all scheduled and get set up and we'll share some more stuff, but we actually did start talking about it with some of the patrons while we were even there.
And Green Suitor Con, you know, only $600 a ticket. So cheaper than
what? $679. Yeah. No, the good thing is that we've been to enough events that we know what we like and we know what we don't. So I think we'll put a pretty good event together because we know what people are probably expecting when they get there.
I will say that something I think that we will do, and this is not going to be required for anybody, and we have not talked about this. I'm literally saying this right off the top of my head.
Right off the cut.
Available on Apple and Spotify. We will give the opportunity if people want to help donate towards the cost of the event, they can, but it will not be mandatory. But just understand that anything helps, especially since we're going to be drawing somebody and we're going to all be flying somewhere. But they don't have to. Nobody could donate. We would still do it. So we just need to start crunching some numbers.
It's basically a free event, but for patrons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
It will only be for patrons. Only for patrons.
Yep. And that's part of what you've been paid, but any donation you want to make, that's kind of a nice thing.
Right. If they want to make a donation to help cover some of the costs associated with it, by all means. Yeah. If not, do not feel need to do it. We'll have more information about that. We'll have like a Venmo thing set up or something.
And we're going to try to give money for wingies.
And we also realize we need to give as much advance notice as possible because some people need to really get it on their calendars early. So we're going to try to make sure that we give as much advance notice as possible.
And hopefully I can make it.
We'll try to make sure you can.
You're going to make it. We're going to make sure you can make it.
Well,
you're not going to have to take
PTO
time for that.
Nope.
Hold on. I just got a message. Who is this to? There it is. Is this my Patreon or is this our Patreon? This is amazing. We're getting all kinds of patrons while we're on the podcast.
Well, let's somebody just stay on all night. Let's just keep
names. Just became a patron.
Let's just keep name dropping. We're not getting off here. We're staying on live.
That's it.
Hold on. All inboxes. Somebody came again. Don't let me forget. I need to make sure that I. Oh no! This is for my own Patreon.
Oh.
So speaking of that,
I got to start mine.
Yeah, you do. So I made some, I did some stories today. You guys will see them later if you watch them. But I was talking about, I've finally made the decision that I'm going to spend more time with exclusive content on Patreon and not on Instagram. I don't know why I keep wasting all of my time on Instagram and, you know, sharing, like overly sharing stuff when I have had a Patreon for a very long time. And the thing that I always struggled with was like, what do I share on Patreon? What do I share on Instagram? Well, I feel bad because like I want to be doing more for my patrons. Why? Because they're taking money from their life and giving it to me every month. So I've slowly but surely started to implement new things, be more active on there, do posts from time to time, do weekly updates, do all these things. So now I'm going to start focusing all my attention over there. And I talked about it in my stories. It's like, hey, I'm just letting everybody know. I've been a little bit quiet, but moving forward, I'm going to be spending a lot more emphasis on Patreon. I'm sure I'm going to get flack about it, but at the end of the day, like, okay, do I need to focus on the people that are spending some of their hard-earned money to help support what I do or all of the people that are just there to see it? Right. And that might sound like a mean thing to say, but at the same time, it's really mean that I'm not giving them any additional value. You know what I mean? So that's something I'm going to start leaning into hot and heavy. And I can actually upload longer videos and stuff on Patreon.
That's cool.
I just want to be Nick Padula. That's all. I just want to be Nick Padula.
Well, people on Patreon there or a patron is less likely to be a douchebag like they are on Instagram.
That's true.
Because there's probably a lot of DBs on Instagram that comment to you just because they're trolls and they're douchebags. Yeah.
My morning messages. I love my morning messages. I'm like, thank you.
It's just so hard for me because I share so much because I am an in the moment type of person. Like when I get excited about something, I want to share that with my audience. That's why I love doing stories. And now it's just going to like, how do I decide, okay, this is Patreon worthy and this is, you know, Instagram worthy. But, you know, if I start sharing less and less and people miss it, then they'll go become a patron. But since I talked about that in my stories, hundreds and hundreds of people have seen the stories and I've gained one new patron. So
yay.
They clearly don't care. They're probably like, thank God I don't have to watch all these damn stories anymore.
I guess it's the same as some of the networks. They go to paid, you know, eventually.
It all turns into that. That could be a whole topic of like mm-hmm. looking at all the people in the community that, you know, used to do all these YouTube videos and it was all free stuff. And now it's like everything is sponsored and mm-hmm. trying to get promotion to their own business and paid this and paid that. And it's like, it's just the natural evolution. It's how it goes, right? It's just like a company does the same thing, right? A major corporation does the same thing.
Yeah. And to that note,
so bent out of shape.
I would be more willing to do more stories if it was something like on Patreon because I'm sometimes barely able to even do what I'm doing and I can't stop. And sometimes I'm like, this would be so great to do. And I just can't, I want to get away from the house I'm working at or something along those lines. And I'm like, just forget it. It'd been awesome, but I'm leaving. And it would be different if it was a platform that I felt like that I was getting paid to put that content out there. I think I would do a better job.
I wish Patreon had a story feature.
So they're you can all do videos.
You can do video. You can do live streams. You can do a lot of stuff. But I wish that they just had the ability to go in there and for me to just do stories that people could follow. Because then I would just do my stories there, and I would continuously just go to Instagram and be like, "Oh, I'm doing this. If you guys want to find out more about it, go to Patreon." Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're dragging this out. It's after 7. Yeah.
Okay.
Sedge is like, I'm ready to get off of this call.
I want to find out who that douche was in Austin.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for being a patron. Thanks for listening. Leave us a review on Apple and Spotify, please.
Yeah. And for those of you that went to WorkbenchCon, just know that we enjoyed hanging out or meeting you or spending time with you or whatever it was. We really enjoyed it. And we're very glad. We're very happy with this community that we've built.
Yes,
for sure.
Very appreciative.
You guys are the rock.
And if you're not a patron, then screw you. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
He's kidding. Not really.
Yeah. No. Go kick rocks. but seriously.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.